Just saying how many years. We have been in this place 47 years. I was sitting there looking at that window. I've looked at that window for 47 years.
Should have done something different by now.
Yeah. Anyway, you're first.
Yeah. We're learners still. And I just trust we can bring the God's word into your hearts as well as your heads. Because that's what God's word's all about. And anyway, we're going to begin. Good morning. My name is Brian. It's a name with Celtic origin, and it means hill. Now, I learned that recently, to think my name means hill is rather disappointing. But it also means high or noble. And that's that makes me feel somewhat better. Anyway, there's a semi-legendary Irish king whose name was Brian. He was thwarted. Now, there's a word. Did you write that down? Thwarted. He was thwarted by the Vikings. And it was the 11th century. Anyway, that's me. I'm Brian. I wasn't thwarted.
Good morning. My name's Janet. That's a feminine form of the name John, and it means God has been gracious. Amen. In Hebrew language, it means God is merciful. Brian, did you have any other names?
Well, I've written them here. A lot of people called me Twicer, and some people thought I was very clever calling me Twice Nightly. I've also been known as 5077587, sir, in the RAF Colour Squadron, Queen's Colour Squadron. And do you know, I've even been known as the Reverend Brian Knightley. And I've also been known more affectionately as part.
So what we're called, you can see that. What we're called can give us an identity. If I'm called Mrs. Knightley, which I often am by dear Marie sitting there, it usually means I'm in school or I'm at the doctor's in the hospital. And I'll add a little note here. I'm not going again for a year. I've been signed off. I was signed off on Thursday by the consultant. He said, I'll see you in a year's time. And I said, that's great. And I said, lots of prayers gone up. He said, well, that's always a really good thing. So there we are. Or I might be called Mrs. Knightley, the wife of Brian Knightley. So whatever we are, we have an identity usually by the names people give us. And I remember we had a lovely girl staying with us quite a while ago. We had a mission here and several people were sort of staying around. This girl stayed with us and she was a bit disabled, well, quite disabled. And on the morning of the first morning of the mission, they were introducing themselves and she limped her way forward where the front was there that time. And she said, I'm so-and-so and so-and-so. I know I'm disabled, but I'm a daughter of the king. I'm a daughter of the king. And she always said that to us. And she said, I've never forgotten it. I can see her face now. And you're either a son or daughter of the king if you know Jesus. There's lots of names you know Jesus by. We've had them prayed over already this morning. There's some coming up on the overhead next, I think. Yep. So we've got Lord, we've got Master, we've got Logos, the Word, we've got Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David, Messiah, Lamb of God, the new Adam, the second Adam, the last Adam, Light of the World, King of the Jews. We could go on and on and on. And there's a man on this video that did go on and on and on. And I want you to hear this and just take the words. And I'm sure some of you have heard it before, but it's really encouraging. You can probably think of other names of Jesus other than the ones we've had up on the board there. You can think of Saviour. You can think of Light of the World. You can think of the Bread. You can think of Redeemer. You can think of Emmanuel. You could go on and on. Prince of Peace, the Counselor, Almighty Father. We could go on and on. In fact, when I was thinking about it, you could do a whole terms, sermons on the names of Jesus and what they mean. Perhaps we'll come back to that in a minute, Jeff, if you're struggling there for a minute. Because I think this video puts it better than we can. It's all the names of Jesus.
Yeah.
And in many ways, what we're trying to describe is the indescribable, actually. He's indescribable. There's a lovely song I think we used to sing, Indescribable, wasn't it? It was called that. And really, it's like thinking of a diamond. Came to me yesterday. I think it's looking at a diamond with many facets. A brilliant diamond has 59 facets. 58 facets, sorry. 58 facets. I looked at my one, I thought, no, I'm not in that league. But, you know, 59 facets of Jesus. All the different parts to his character. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And we're just today going to look at a few of those facets. First of all, though, I've really started at the end. What's the end result of all this with this name of Jesus? Well, Philippians 2, 6 to 11 says, who, though he was God, he did not demand and cling to his rights as God, but laid aside his mighty power and glory, taking the disguise of a slave and becoming like men. And he humbled himself even further, going as far as actually to die a criminal's death on a cross. Yet, it was because of this that God raised him up to the heights of heaven and gave him a name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's going to be the end result of all the names of Jesus that we see, of all the activities of Jesus that we see. At the end, everyone is going to bow the knee and declare that Jesus is Lord. Acts 4:12 says, there is salvation in no one else. Under all heaven, there is a recompense to be paid. No other name for men to call upon to save them. Christ's purpose was there from the beginning of time to be a saviour. When we face ourselves and our thoughts, our mistakes and our mess-ups, I don't know about you, but I feel I don't deserve anything. And I've had days like that. I've had times like that. I'm sure we all have. But as we recognise and believe that there's no penalty for us because he paid that penalty on the cross, we've just been singing about it, talking about it, Andy was talking about it, we get a profound sense of freedom and gratitude. You're free. You're free from any penalty, from any recompense you've got to pay because of what Jesus has come from the cross. Do you believe in that relief and joy? Well, if we don't, we can't go forward. I think, Brian, now, you're going to give them a little story now.
Yeah. I'll tell you about the judge. Jesus is a saviour, and golly, I'm glad he's a saviour because he saved me. Has he saved you? If anybody here doesn't know they're saved, this is a good place to hang around afterwards and talk to us because, frankly, it's wonderful to be saved by this living God and have our sins forgiven. And he's a saviour. And there's a story of a judge who penalised a young man for a crime that he'd committed and said, you're going to pay £100. Something like that anyway. And the young man thought to himself, oh. But the judge, he came down from his pedestal and he sat next to the little lad and he said, here's £100. That'll pay your fine. And that's what Jesus has done. You know, that's a simple story, but Jesus paid the price that you and me owed. I think as a young Christian, it hit me more than anything else that I owed something. And that Jesus had paid that figure for me. I don't know whoever preached that sermon that really took my heart over that whole matter, but it broke my heart. And I do remember I cried when I thought what Jesus had done for me, a little kid who deserved nothing. How you doing?
Amen. Yeah, we'll put our video off till the end, I think.
Okay. Yeah. So it's this church has always had problems with the overhead system.
Well, we're not surprised.
It's nothing to do with these guys at the back. It's always been the same. When did we join this church?
In the name of
we
Jesus.
We pointed that way. Right. We pointed that way. And we pointed that way. And now we're this way. And the PA system has always struggled.
Anyway.
Nothing to do with them.
No. All right, so that facet of Jesus there, the one that he's our Saviour.
Right.
And then Jesus is our healer. He's our healer. And you're going to hear something this morning that we only found out about yesterday. But let's just look at Acts 3, 1 to 6.
Can we do that?
I don't think they've got that either. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock daily prayer meeting. And as they approached the temple, they saw a man lame from birth. He'd been a long while with his illness, lame from birth, carried along the street and laid beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate. And as was his custom every day. And as Peter and John were passing by, he asked them for some money. Was it money he needed? Well, yes, he probably did, but he needed more than that. They looked at him intently and then Peter said, "Look here." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting a gift. But Peter said, "We don't have any money for you, but I'll give you something else. I command you, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk."
How about that?
The name of Jesus brings that healing. Peter got it, and he got it at last. He got it. It wasn't something he could do. It wasn't something, you know, magic in that word or anything like that. But he knew about the power of the name of Jesus. And when you're sick, always pray in the name of Jesus, because he's the only one. Even when you're having surgeons do things and you're having nurses do things, you pray beforehand, in the name of Jesus, they're doing it, in the name of Jesus. Mary's had a brilliant week this week. She came out of hospital and I saw her in the car at our door as she'd been brought out of hospital, because John was delivering something. And, you know, what a marvellous healing for her. It's wonderful, it's wonderful. It's his intention that we know that healing. It really is his intention. I don't know why sometimes he delays it, but he does. He does. And we have, you know, the authority to use that power for healing. We have the authority for that. It's a bit like having a power of attorney, and I can tell you all about that now, because last year, I had to be power of attorney for a cousin of mine, and it meant I could go to the bank and I could draw money out of her account, but I could get it in my name. You know, I was representing her in that way. I had the power to do that. I had the power to organise whether she went into a care home or not, the power to organise what happened to her money. And we've just set her own up, haven't we? So the boy's going to do it for us. But yeah.
This person can be relied upon to look after other people's money.
No, yeah, well, yeah. Anyway. Brian's going to give you some examples. What we're doing today, all the examples we give are authentic. They're things that have either happened here or to people we know. The story about the judge was not in here. That's the only one. All the other examples Brian's giving are things we've seen, been with.
In this building.
In this building. Or wherever.
Okay.
Right.
He's putting his thumbs up.
What's that mean? Well, hang on for a minute now. We'll sort of do it towards the end, I think. Right, Brian, okay.
Jane Hosegood. Now, you won't have heard of Jane Hosegood.
Some might.
She was in the church for some time, and she was very poorly. She really was poorly. She had arthritis plus, and she came in very slowly, didn't she, into church. And we had Vic Jacobson come and preach. And it talked about healing. And we had basically healing. I think we've had healing services ever since we started in this church. If it hasn't been in the middle, it's been at the end. We've tended to pray for people, and so we should. That's why we have a ministry team. But at the particular time, Jane Hosegood, who was in the church, and as I say, she was one of those ladies who found it very difficult to get from the door. And she was prayed for in this very building. And I could not believe it at the time, but at the end of this service, Jane got up and danced out of the church. The aisle was down that way, pointed that way at the time. She danced out of the church. And the power of God is so absolutely amazing.
Yeah. What was fantastic about it, she was a lady, very quiet, very prim and proper lady, and she was a college principal in Pakistan, India, and she came back, retired to the Cotswolds, and as I say, we used to see her hobbling down the road to come in. She asked if she could have prayer, and you couldn't have imagined anybody less likely to run up and down the aisle. You really couldn't, and she did, so that was fantastic.
And she wasn't somebody who could put it on.
No. And your next example is really hot off the press. Really hot off the press. We had a lovely afternoon yesterday meeting up with lots of older friends from this church, people who come over from Australia, and we had a picnic. And one of them was Rachel Kirk, who was in this church. In fact, her sister was a pastor's wife at one point.
Yeah.
So we met Rachel yesterday, and she had really good news, didn't she, Brian?
Well, she'd suffered from ME, which, for those of you who know what ME is, it's pretty awful. And while she was with us, she was prayed for. But we met her yesterday in the middle of Cheltenham when they had this great, whatever it was. And she's healed. Completely healed. And, you know, that was the thing which a lot of people suffered right through to, you know, the end. But she's, you know, she's looked absolutely fantastic, didn't she?
She did.
Really, really wonderful. I've got a walk-on part.
It's Laurel and Hardy or something, is it?
Yeah. Okay. Years ago, I used to preach for about 10, 15 minutes or half an hour or an hour. I stood at one place all the time. This is really good. Move around.
Oh, dear.
It's nice, Christianity great?
It's nice to be older. You could get a sense of humour about that.
Yeah, if you haven't got a sense of humour, get one. Otherwise, you don't stay in this church.
Right, Jesus the Saviour.
Right.
Jesus the Healer. Jesus who delivers us from evil one, from the giants. I love that hymn. We used to sing it when I was in the Anglican Church. At the name of Jesus, devils fear and fly. In 1 Samuel 17, David was involved in this. David shouted to Goliath, "You come with me with a sword and a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of the armies of heaven and of Israel, the very God whom you've defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will cut you and cut off your head. Then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And Israel will learn that the Lord does not depend on weapons to fulfill his plans. He works without regard to human means. He will give you to us." So he came in the name of the God of Israel, the power of heaven's armies. And he protects us from danger, and he saves us, and he delivers us. We've got two fantastic stories of people we know really well who will testify to that. You're on stage.
Okay. Who are we talking about first? Elizabeth Williams. Some of you may know Elizabeth Williams. Oh, you know Elizabeth Williams. And her daughter were camping. And two girls camping is not a great idea sometimes in some sort of places. And they were very frightened because they saw this rather ugly looking, frighteningly large man hovering around where they were about to go to bed. And they couldn't really settle. Was it Elizabeth or was it? Yeah, it was Elizabeth.
Well, Alice ran off. And
yeah, Alice ran. Her daughter ran off, and Alice cried out and declared the name of the Lord over this whole situation. And this particular man rushed, disappeared almost.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth has often, if you have heard Elizabeth, she's told the story a few times, hasn't she? And praise the Lord. That sort of thing has happened quite a lot. Ben, a relative who had a band, and they were a Christian band, and they played in various venues. I'm not sure what the venue was.
Vancouver.
It was in Vancouver. And thank you. And they were a great Christian band, but in fact the evening was trying to be spoiled by some blokes who came in to really mess the place up. And to cut a very long story short, which is quite a good idea for me, they cried out in the name of Jesus that the whole situation would change, and these people fled under the name of Jesus. Mm. Can you add to that?
Yeah, slightly, yeah. You put your own version on that one, but yeah. No, they marched towards them at the front. It's manic. They marched towards them at the front.
Yeah.
And they were threatening, really threatening, going to bash them down. And Ben said, we shouted, in the name of Jesus, stop. And these men were paralysed, fell on the floor and were paralysed. They couldn't move. Mm. And they begged to be set free. So they prayed for them. And they got up and they sat in the rest of the meeting and heard the stories. And, you know, presumably after that, they would become Christians. But it was that name of Jesus that
saved
them.
They said, in
them.
The name of Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
That's so powerful.
Yeah.
The name of Jesus changes everything. You can be on your own somewhere and the situation is pretty hot. Cry out the name of Jesus and see things change.
Okay. Right. What are the giants in your life?
You try and do this with your wife. That's all very well. Husband and wife working together like this cannot always be easy. Okay? So, you know, if you're thinking you could do better, come out here with your wife. Sorry about that. No. I have a sense of humour. I have a sense of humour. Please, if you're here today for the first time, don't think this is real.
Right, sit down.
It's real here.
Sit down. Sit down.
Okay.
Oh, Lord, give me strength.
Well, we've got the stage. Let's use it.
Oh, dear. Right. Seriously. What are the giants in your life? You need to speak to them in the name of Jesus. Those giants, as with David, manifest themselves as real people. And that's often the case. We've got some giants, some of us in our families, that are manifesting themselves and need some prayer, and they're having prayer. Sometimes, and quite often, those giants are in your mind. What are you thinking? Somebody used to say, stinking thinking. You can have stinking thinking, and that's a huge blockage to moving on with Jesus. You know the things that stop you. You know the things that you could put under the heading of stinking thinking. And how do we deal with them? We deal with them with the name of Jesus and the word of God. When Jesus is telling you, you're no good, or that's gone wrong, or it'll never end, or whatever, go to the word of God, see what he says. It's amazing. If you're a person that reads, well, you read every day, but if you read any notes any day or something, it's really interesting. The day that you're reading that particular note is so relevant to what your situation is at the time. So get rid of your stinking thinking. Know that the name of Jesus is greater than any enemy. All right? Andy said, with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. There was a time in the last 3 or 4 months I thought I'd never walk again, let alone stand up and anything, because I had a big operation. And there were days it really felt I was not making any progress. Well, there were a few weeks I wasn't making any progress. And, you know, you go to the Word of God. You go to the Word of God. And he'd said to me, right at the beginning of all this treatment, keep your eyes on Jesus. Only he can release your foot from the snare. And it was my foot that was being operated on. And I put that up on the board on the wall. Every time I had those times when I thought, you know, I'm in the wheelchair, I'm on the crutches, this, that and the other. What's going to happen? I'd look at that verse and I'd say, no, Lord, that's what you said. That's what you said. And we need to do that. And then when I got a really bad infection in it and we didn't want to go down the sepsis route, and I can't tell you how many antibiotics I'm still on, but I've nearly finished. But again, you look at that on the wall, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I take your word and I'm going to make it live through me. I'm going to believe it because he is powerful. Everything about his character is centered on his power. Everything. And he wants us to know that power. Paul writes to the Ephesians, I pray that you will begin to understand how incredibly great his power is to those who believe him. It's that same power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honour at God's right hand in heaven. Far, far above any other king or ruler or dictator or leader. Yes, his honour is far more glorious than that of anyone else, either in this world or in the world to come. And we have the possibilities of living and operating in that power. And we can make that choice. Do we believe that? Or is that just something there? Do we really believe it? Do we know it in our knower, as I always say? John 14 says, you can ask anything in my name and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. It's not a magic formula. We're not saying when you say, oh, Jesus, it's like a magic word. It's not that. It's with all the authority that his name means. And we're presenting to God, all that Jesus is, as we pray in the name of Jesus. Now, our prayers aren't always perfect. They're not. We might not be praying in his will if we're not careful. We don't know. But I think it was Joyce Meyer was saying that I think of it like this. We pray, and then it said the Holy Spirit takes our prayers and presents them before God. And I believe on the way, the Holy Spirit is refining those prayers so that when God gets them, it's absolutely right. That's wonderful. That's a really good picture. So, you know, there are so many instances of his power. I could, but with 47 years, we could give you a lot of instances. But Brian's going to just give one that was really quite miraculous.
Yeah. That's good news, isn't it? Just one. Brian and Margot Williams were in this church for some time. A lovely couple from Birmingham. They spoke as if they came from Birmingham. And they really were lovely. But Brian went every day to work in Birmingham in his own little repair shop that he operated. They were with us a long time. We had all sorts of experiences with them and through them. But that particular situation I want to share now is that it was the day that Brian's father died. Brian got the message and Margot phoned
you.
Phoned me to say, Brian's in a real state. His dad's died. He's up in Birmingham in his shop. I said, I'll go straight away. In those days, I didn't know Birmingham very well. Today, I don't know Birmingham very well. But then I didn't know Birmingham very, very well. So that's enough of that. You got the picture. I drove to Birmingham and just about had the instructions to where this shop was. When I got to it, it was closed. Brian had obviously gone to a relative or something or other. I didn't know. It just simply said, closed. I thought, I really messed this up. So, of course, what did I do? I just sat in the car. No, I didn't feel sorry for myself. I just asked God, where was Brian? Jesus, Jesus, I cried. I'm sitting in the car in the street where other loads of cars are parked. I'm somewhere near Birmingham. I'm in Birmingham. I don't know where Brian is. And I'm saying, Jesus, Jesus, I made a right mess of this. Please help me. And I opened my eyes, and the car in front was Brian's. The car right in front of me parked was Brian's car. Well,
yeah.
It's a terrible thing to say. I couldn't believe it. I'd been praying for it. But I was bowled over by the fact that Brian's car was there. And in life, you get those feelings of delight when certain things happen, like children are born and so on. I had that moment of delight. Now, Brian's dad had died. But I knew that Brian needed someone to talk to, someone's shoulder to cry on. And I knew Brian well. And I knew I was just the bloke who he needed. I got out of the car and I knocked on the door that was opposite where the car was parked, and I think it was a relative of Brian's house. And Brian said, I'm so glad you came. Miracles.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. You were driving around the streets of Birmingham, weren't you, shouting Jesus, not knowing from the shop. You were driving around all the streets, calling on the name of Jesus, and pulled into the side of one road, having gone up quite a few roads, and there was the car. Amazing. God's power. And I think, you know, what's this ingredient that enables us to access and operate in this power? What is it? Jesus said, if you had faith, even as small as a tiny mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move, and it would go far away. Nothing would be impossible. We see God's power when we believe, when we have faith. The more we believe in the power of God, the greater the power is released. More we believe in that power, the greater the power is that's released. His is the greatest name, the highest name, the most powerful name, the wonderful name of Jesus. There's no other name to match it. There's no other power like it. There's no other way to live, really, when it comes to it.
The Bible says, my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You see, you can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah!
Amen. Amen. Some of you have probably seen that before, but I love it. I love it. You can't add to that. The greatest and the highest name. I don't know how you've come in this morning, and I don't know what your needs are, but he does. And out of all that list you just heard, there'll be something there you're saying to yourself, yeah, I wish that was mine. He's like that, but I wish that was for me. And if that's you this morning, then know that he's here to meet that. We always pray that we'll all be different when we go out from here than when we come in. And that's why we prayed this morning. People will be different when they go out. Maybe you want to know more of that power in your life. Maybe you need healing. Maybe it's healing in your mind you need first. It was interesting when Rachel said yesterday, actually, it was after Christmas he started to heal my mind, and it was last month that he healed my body. And those of you who knew her would not have believed when we saw her yesterday just how well she looked. Really, really well. That's the God we've got. So whatever your need is this morning, come to him. Come to him. He's the wellspring of life. He's the one who will meet that need. He's the one who can change your situation. I think sometimes it's not so much giants in our life, it's like shadows. Sort of shadows are there, and you think, oh, I just need that out of the way. God can do that. He removes those shadows. He brings light into the dark places. And that's what he wants to do for you. We've got the ministry team here this morning, or some of them, haven't we, Ingrid? So please, if anybody needs prayer, just come and sit near the front in a minute, and people come and pray if you need that. Sometimes it's only a small step to do that, or it might seem a huge step to do it, but it's only a small step for the Lord to really meet you in that position. And he would want to do that. Go out here with more freedom. Go out here with more power. Go out here with more peace. Go out here with more purpose. That's what he would want. That's what I want. That's what he would want. More than me, even. So let's do that. Ron, have we got anything to sing at the end to finish with? Could we do his name, the one powerful name of Jesus, or wonderful name, beautiful name, that one? I think that would fit in with the... What a wonderful name. That's putting you on the spot. Can you do that? You can. You can. We said this morning, when I went in on Friday, Ron said, oh, and I've got to do the worship on Sunday. I said, we've got to preach. I said, oh dear, we've got the C team on today. All the regulars are away. And then I came this morning, I said, I banished that word. We're not C team.
Just say something, if I may. If you're here this morning and you know at the moment Jesus isn't close enough, you feel a bit away from Jesus, you know, you've perhaps been very close to Jesus, at the moment you're just running on, not empty, but it's low. Jesus wants to say to you this morning, come on now, it's time to begin again. It's time to just refresh. It's time to get serious. Don't leave this place this morning without knowing that you're a son or daughter of the living God. He's amazing.